I'm James Corr, and today I'd like to welcome you to the first episode of the Strategic Reserve Podcast. This show is for anyone looking to grow and protect their wealth in a rapidly changing world. We're not here for the hype and the speculation or even short-term goals. This podcast is really about understanding Bitcoin as a secure and long-term strategic treasury reserve asset, one that could play a powerful role in your future and that of your company. And your future financial planning. Whether you're an individual investor or a family office, a business, or you're simply curious, this episode will lay the foundation for why Bitcoin is worth your attention. So welcome, and let's dive in. Just a little bit of background about me as we get started. Since 2016, I've had thousands of conversations over coffee tables, on phone calls, in boardrooms, presenting to individuals, waiters, guys on the street, all the way up to JSE-listed firms, trying to help people to understand Bitcoin and really understand the why of why Bitcoin exists and why it's worth your attention. Through all those interactions, I've seen what works and what doesn't when it comes to buying and holding and managing Bitcoin securely. Out of that experience, I built Simple Bitcoin. It's South Africa's first fully compliant Bitcoin-only family office. Through Simple Bitcoin, I support not just individuals and family offices, but also other financial services providers in delivering secure Bitcoin custody, brokerage, over-the-counter trades, and knowledge and understanding. So as we navigate this space, we start to do it with an education-first approach. From that, I've now decided to launch this channel where we're going to really explore Bitcoin and unpack it. Our mission is simple, to help people to buy Bitcoin securely, give them the support, and best-in-class, world-class self-custody, and then give them control, confidence, and the peace of mind of knowing that if you're investing significant assets in Bitcoin, your only risk becomes the price volatility. This podcast is an extension of that mission, helping you to understand Bitcoin in a clear, practical, and strategic way. And we'll be looking at getting other people with different knowledge and experience to weigh in on important topics. We have different kinds of podcast episodes that we'll look at. Tomorrow, we'll do an AMA, an Ask Me Anything, where we address some of the questions from our community. And I would love you to subscribe and get involved in the Strategic Reserve. So let's start with the most important question. Why Bitcoin? In a world with thousands of crypto tokens, flashy apps, ETF products, why does Bitcoin matter? And what makes it different? To answer that, we're going to have to look at the problem that Bitcoin solved. So Bitcoin wasn't just a fluke. It wasn't created in mind by itself. It was the result of 40 years of research by a community called the Cypherpunks. This group was focused on solving three core problems since the dawn of the internet. First, the freedom of information, then the freedom of identity, and finally, the freedom to transfer value. The internet solved the first two through engagement with the cypherpunks and even the US government. And these first two problems, freedom of information and identity, were well developed. We've got technologies such as VPNs and encryption and Tor. These were built by a cypherpunk's early adopters of the internet. Transferring value digitally without banks or intermediaries remained unsolved. And that changed in 2009. A developer named Satoshi Nakamoto released this Bitcoin white paper. And in it, he quoted the research of other guys who'd already done similar work. Bitcoin introduced something that really was groundbreaking, something that had never been achieved but had been attempted before, and that is digital scarcity. For the first time, we had a digital good that couldn't be copied or forged, and most importantly, couldn't be sent twice to two different recipients. Every transaction is verified and recorded publicly in what we call the time chain, or what's commonly known now as the blockchain. So we'll put that into context. Think back to 2000 when CDs were these things we used to go to the shop and pay 100 Rand for at Musica, a CD disc. And then you would be able to listen to the 12 or 24 tracks that were on your CD. And CDs had value. You could actually sell them secondhand to other people who would pay you less than you paid, but you would be able to actually transfer ownership of a CD from one person to another. And it was a time of really sharing music and great music getting published. But what happened? The CD-ROM drive became a commonplace feature in every household, and we were able to rip that CD and turn a physical disc into digital files called MP3s. Now, you might think I'm going crazy, but that's only if you're under the age of 20. We're talking about the decimation of an entire industry. MP3s created the digital good of an MP3 file that could be copied and cloned and distributed freely, and there was no recourse for the license holders. So MP3s just destroyed the music industry, because as a digital good, they were not scarce. The scarcity of digital goods is something that nobody had been able to solve. What Satoshi did in the creation of the Bitcoin code and the implementation of Bitcoin launching in 2009-2010, it was the 3rd of Jan that Bitcoin turned on, was create a digital good that was scarce. In other words, traceable, completely able to view that this is not a copy or a clone of the Bitcoin that's being moved from peer to peer. Also, because of the way that blockchain works and the verifications, when you try and spend Bitcoin, if you've already spent that Bitcoin, the transaction is declined from the Bitcoin miners. So these components of the technology actually deliver an incredibly powerful tool to Bitcoiners. We have a digital scarce good that can only exist in one place at a time. It can only be spent once. It can't be counterfeited or duplicated, and it's a fundamental breakthrough. This is what solves the double spend problem, a major obstacle in digital systems, and it's one of the reasons that Bitcoin holds real value. Now, let's have a look at Bitcoin versus inflation. If you've tried to save in rands or any inflationary currency, you will know the challenge. Your money buys less and less every year, and inflation erodes your wealth silently and consistently. Bitcoin has a fixed supply, and although we speak of inflation as the GDP going up and your money can't buy as many goods, what you really see is that the more money that is generated by the reserve banks or the banking system, the less purchasing power your rands or your fiat money has. Fiat being money issued by a government. So Bitcoin brings a challenge to this idea by having a completely fixed supply. It's completely known issuance, and no central bank or developer can print more Bitcoin. It's resistant to manipulation and censorship by being completely open source and distributed across thousands of developers across the globe. It's also not influenced by political interference. We might say, whoa, but I just saw Donald Trump announce this and the price went like that. All of that is absolutely true, but that does not change the technology of Bitcoin itself. Bitcoin doesn't care what's going on in the rest of the world. It's hard-coded to continue creating new Bitcoin every 10 minutes at a known issuance rate and just continue verifying transactions and confirming historical data. Whether you're in South Africa, Zimbabwe, or Argentina, or anywhere facing currency instability, Bitcoin has become a lifeline. It's why it works as a strategic reserve is that it preserves your value across time. No one who's held Bitcoin for 5 years or more has lost purchasing power. And this is probably the most important concept to understand. We look at the price volatility of Bitcoin, and we see 70% pullbacks. We see massive growth of 300% in less than a year. And we are completely overwhelmed. But when you zoom out, you can see that the trend of Bitcoin is pretty much a straight line going up. So have a look at a longer time frame. And what we really are considering is that as a strategic reserve, your goal is not to have a quick win, get rich fast mentality, but to have a look at something whose purchasing power maintains or increases over a long-term period. So to date, Bitcoin has been, outperforming almost every other asset on the long-term over the last 10, 12 years. Let's just have a look at what is a strategic reserve, because that's the focus of this podcast. A strategic reserve is a store of value that you can rely on during uncertainty. It's not just about protecting your capital, but it's about maintaining your options, keeping a leverage when the system is strained. In traditional finance, this is often used as cash, bonds or gold, or other hard assets. Today, many of those are becoming more vulnerable to inflation, counterparty risk, or regulatory overreach. That's why more forward-thinking institutions and countries are starting to treat Bitcoin as digital gold. It's a superior alternative. It's secure, it's scarce, it's portable, and it's globally verifiable. It doesn't have any issuer apart from the miners who are actively maintaining the Bitcoin network, and there's no way for them to issue more Bitcoin. One of the things that BlackRock stated in the ETF is that they don't believe that Bitcoin will never be increased in its supply. So they think you could actually produce more Bitcoin in the future. And the buyers agree that they will not necessarily support the longest Bitcoin chain. So this is a massive problem when you're buying a Bitcoin ETF and they're saying we might not support the real Bitcoin. We could choose to support a Bitcoin Cash or something equally redundant. So very important to consider these things as we navigate a strategic Bitcoin reserve. So let's have a look at some of the questions that I've received quite a lot. One of them is, can't something else just replace Bitcoin? Surely there's going to be a better coin sometime soon. And it's a fair question, but we can look at it in a short answer right now. Bitcoin's resilience comes from three things. Firstly, its decentralization. Secondly, its robust security model. And third, the sheer size and strength of the global community that runs Bitcoin. Any new asset would face all of the vulnerabilities that Bitcoin did in its first early years, and few could survive them. In the early days of Bitcoin, there were a number of times where it would have been possible for the guys who had launched Bitcoin and the early adopters, we're talking about year one, where they could have easily overtaken the Bitcoin network, hacked it and broken it or destroyed it. Those moments came and went because your community were altruistically trying to solve a problem they'd been working on for 40 years. These guys were highly motivated to see crypto assets survive. After the world has learned what Bitcoin is, what crypto is, and how it works, every new coin that's launched gets attacked within its first couple of months, never mind years. And in those times, the coins get broken and destroyed, and nothing can actually help them to overcome that initial time period where the population is there to benefit themselves instead of altruistically serve the community by delivering something of long-term value. So very important to understand that advantage that Bitcoin has as the first mover in a completely new technology and a new environment. While other projects may have different features, none can offer the combination of trust, security, and decentralization that Bitcoin does. So let's wrap it up. What does this mean for you? If you're thinking about the next 5, 10, or 20 weeks, Bitcoin should not be part of your portfolio. But if you're thinking about the next 5, 10, or 20 years, Bitcoin deserves serious consideration in your strategy. If you're thinking about long-term, Bitcoin requires that you investigate it. Whether you're an individual wanting to protect your savings or a business looking at treasury diversification, if you're a family building generational wealth, or you're just trying to hedge against currency devaluation, political uncertainty, and the mess that is global trade right now, Bitcoin offers a way for you to hold value that is outside of the system, but is still secure. At Simple Bitcoin, my firm, that's exactly what we help our clients do. We'll help you to buy Bitcoin, to store it with confidence in self-custody, and then help you to take full control with a managed legacy strategy that allows you to have backed up self-custodial vaults. This podcast is here to help you and guide you through getting all of that done and help you to learn what Bitcoin is and how it works. We'll go through what a wallet is and how that works and how to set one up. We'll look at best practices around self-custody, the dangers of chasing yield and custodial risk, estate planning for Bitcoin, Bitcoins versus altcoins, setting up a Bitcoin treasury for your company. And if you have any questions around these different topics, please drop them in the comments or send me an email and I'll definitely review those and have a look at what we can discuss in future episodes. If you are a professional in Bitcoin and you'd love to be featured on this podcast, then reach out to me. And if you're ready to start your Bitcoin journey and level up your Bitcoin security, then email me, james@thestrategicreserve.com, or visit simplebee.co.za. Thanks so much for joining me on this first episode. Bitcoin isn't about getting rich quickly. It's about staying rich quietly and building wealth that lasts for generations. I'm James Corr, and this is the Strategic Reserve Podcast. I'll see you at episode 2.